a real privilege to come and speak to you this morning. A real privilege, because God has already orchestrated. He's already woven together things that he wants to tell us and remind us of this morning. And I'm going to talk about being faithful. And those of you who know me, well, I'm an English teacher and I love language. And a simple definition of being faithful is being full of faith. And we've heard testimonies this morning that God would want us to be able to say, it is well with my soul, even when we're still in the waiting. And I hope this morning I'm going to give you some encouragement in that place of how to do a few things that will help. And I'm as much preaching to myself this morning, because I'll tell you a little bit about my situation. We've heard from other people in the church this morning of how to walk with the Lord to be full of faith in those situations and circumstances. Because he is faithful, I can be full of faith. Just like because he is good, I can be full of his goodness, and we can leak out and demonstrate these characteristics of God out to others to show them the kingdom of God. I asked some years ago, asked the Lord, someone had given me that verse that talks about God collects up all your tears and puts them in a bottle. And, you know, people are kind and they were being helpful. And in my distress, God picks up your tears and puts them in a bottle. And I thought, I asked God, well, thank you. But what happens to them then? And I believe through listening to Andy and Andy's song, he gave me my answer. That's what happens to the tears that he collects up in a bottle. He pours them out and uses them for people to bring songs, people to bring words, people to bring examples to others of heaven on earth, of kingdom culture. That's what God does with the tears in the bottle. And he's used them to bless and increase his kingdom and impart to us something of his truth from Andy's song. Andy's already talked about his writing, Amazing Grace. It's an unbelievable love that I believe in. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul, because in you my soul is well. And I was going to talk a little bit about the double meaning on that unbelievable, but Andy's explained that to us. It's an unbelievable love, as in it is so good, but it's still good when we're in that place of it's unbelievable, I can't believe. So the two meanings there. It is unbelievable, it is so good, but equally, when we think it's the other meaning, it's unbelievable. He is so good, and it's still true. So, a few weeks ago, I think it was Easter Sunday, Lizzie brought to us a word, and I found it so helpful. What you have there is a picture of the two on the road to Emmaus. And if you remember, Lizzie taught us that they were so lost and so disappointed that they looked down and walked on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't see the risen Jesus next to them. They didn't see the risen Jesus walking alongside them. They did eventually, but it took the whole journey. And we've had some Psalms today, and they are really helpful. And we're going to look at Psalm 121. Andy's already referred to going to the Psalms for help. And these Psalms, and we're going to look at Psalm 121 and 122, the next one, they are a group of Psalms that are called Songs of Ascent. Songs of Ascent. To look up. To go up. Okay? To hear God. This is Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the noon by night. Sorry, the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Let's look at the next one. Psalm 102, again, a song of ascent. A few weeks ago, Dwayne encouraged us to go up to the house of the Lord. And that's what we've done this morning, isn't it? We had that lovely testimony of feeling that you couldn't come and you couldn't get to the house of the Lord. And here we are. And hasn't it been great? I wouldn't have missed this morning for the world, actually, because we need to hear from God in our situations. So let us go to the house of the Lord. That is where the tribes go up to praise the name of the Lord. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your worlds. We've heard that today. Okay, peace be within you. So our topic, being faithful, full of faith. And that on that slide is supposed to be a thought bubble. And my life group in Rayleigh are fantastic. And we've been going through a series of renewing your mind. And how do we do that? Because my thoughts, I struggle with. Okay? And some of the things on there are things that I ask God about quite frequently. And my own situation today is that I am being made redundant. And it was a shock, and it was something I didn't see coming. And sometimes things happen to us, don't they? We've heard stories today of how God is faithful in those situations. If we look up and we look to the Lord, okay, things come from the left or the right. And I think, well, where did that come from? I didn't expect that. But we can be full of faith in those situations because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. And we read that psalm that he watches over our comings and our goings. Okay, from the right, from the left, going into situations, walking out of situations. Okay, he watches over us. And I've actually been made redundant before, 5 years ago. And at that point, God gave me a verse. And Lizzie's already referred to it this morning. And it's the verse at the end of Proverbs 31. It talks about the woman who hears God and lives for God. And the end of that chapter, the verse says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And do you know what? 5 years ago, God gave me that verse. And he's reminded me of that today, 5 years on, okay, that we can be clothed with strength and dignity. Not because of us. Not because I can make pretty slides, okay? But because he is faithful. He is good, and his love endures forever. Looking at another psalm, and I'm going to read this one from the Passion. Things that can help us be full of faith when the trials come, or when something unexpected happens. Let's look at Psalm 92, a Sunday morning song of praise, it says. It's so enjoyable to come before you, with uncontainable praises spilling from our hearts. How we love to sing our praises over and over to you, to the matchless God, high and exalted over all. And this is where it can help us, okay? We've already heard about a word from God about sleeping and good sleep. Verse 2 says, at each and every sunrise, we will be thanking you for your kindness and your love. So that's at the start of the day. Then, as the sun sets and all through the night, we will keep proclaiming, you are so faithful. Melodies of praise will fill the air as every musical instrument joins with every heart overflows with worship. No wonder I'm so glad I can't keep it in. Lord, I'm shouting with glee over all you've done, for all you've done for me. What mighty miracles and your power at work, just to name a few. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning. When we're facing things that we don't understand, when we ask God why, we don't get an answer maybe till years later. Depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. That's what he's doing when we don't know what happens to the tears in the bottle, when we don't have an answer as to why, okay? Oh no, not this again. Okay, depths of purpose and layers of meaning saturate everything you do. Such amazing mysteries found within every miracle that nearly everyone seems to miss. Those with no discernment can never really discover the deep and glorious secrets hidden in your ways. Yes, each look at how you've made all your lovers to flourish like palm trees. In each one, growing in victory. And I promise you, nobody knew what I was going to speak about, okay? You've transplanted them, each one growing in victory, standing with strength. You've transplanted them into your heavenly courtyard, where they are thriving before you. For in your presence, and here's the answer, in your presence they will still overflow and be anointed. Even in their old age, they will stay fresh. Want that one? Bearing luscious fruit and abiding faithfully. Listen to them. With pleasure, they still proclaim, you are so good. You, my beautiful strength, you've never made a mistake with me. And that's Psalm 92. And God has been showing me these things, since Easter, in my situation, and he's given me specific words. And at first, I thought, "Oh, it's just for me," okay. But this next one from Isaiah 54, I don't believe it is just for me. I think it is for me, but I believe it's for all of us here, okay. As we seek to move out as a church, as we seek to grow to 1,000, as we seek to be family together. This is what God says in Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Do not be afraid. Had that one before, haven't we? Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. And I love that because redundancy is a loss, it's a rejection. Okay, we've heard about loss that's painful today, and I'm sure there are other situations today in this room represented. Okay, but this is what God will tell you: you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Okay? And I promise you, if you seek the Lord, he will give you his words. He will speak to you. Okay? Just as he has done here with me. Okay. So, an expectant heart releases God's power in your life. Expecting him to speak, okay? is the key to receiving God's blessings. And Mark 11:24 tells us, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. The next verse I want us to look at, to consider, Romans 8:38. Now, this is a verse that I misunderstood. And I want to thank Marion, because she explained this to me so perfectly, okay? And the verse in Romans 8:38 often gets misquoted or mistranslated or misunderstood. It says, actually what it says is, he is working all things together for our good and his glory. Now, I used to read that and think it meant everything works out good for those who believe in him. Okay? And that's not what it's saying. It probably happens at the end. Okay? In fact, it definitely happens at the end, because we know the Lamb wins. But the verse is still helpful now when we don't see the end point. Okay? Or we don't see the outcome that we wanted. All right? Romans 8:38, what it actually means is, he is working all things together for our good. He wants to do me good. He will work things out. He is working things out for my good. That doesn't mean it's all going to be good according to my terms and what I think. Okay? He works all things together for our good and his glory. Okay? And if I haven't explained it very well, go and see Marion with a cup of tea and she will explain it, because it was revelation. It was brilliant. Okay? So, what I would like to do, we've done some declarations. I'd like us all to stand, if that's okay, and speak out things that we can expect. Now, I hope you can see that, okay? And just so that you know, I'm not making it up. You've got the scriptures there, all right? And I'm going to say, we can expect that. And then I'd like you to read back to me and declare out, okay? Because we are God's children, because he is good, because he loves us so, so much, we can expect good things from him, okay? Here we go then. We can expect that his grace will be sufficient for us. We can expect that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We can expect that no weapon forged against us will prevail. We can expect that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. We can expect that God is for us, not against us. We can expect that God will be our very present help in trouble. We can expect that Jesus Christ will be consistent. We can expect that we will have streams in our desert. There's just four more. We can expect that our sorrows will be turned to joy. We can expect that God will make a way when there is no way. We can expect that our broken heart will be bound up. We can expect that our giants will be defeated. Amen. Thank you. Woo. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Our giants will be defeated. I love that. So my encouragement to you is, have an expectation that God will speak. Okay? He wants to speak to you. And who you think you are and who you think God is, this is quite important, okay, will determine what you listen out for. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Who you think you are, who God has made you, your identity in him, and who you think God is and what he's like, will determine what you listen out for, okay? So, we are sons and daughters, and we heard about that last week from, and we heard about it on Wednesday from Ian, okay? We are sons and daughters. We are children of God. He is our Father. We are loved by Him. Okay? Now, if you see yourself just as a servant, okay, then you will listen out for, you will hear from God what He wants you to do. You won't hear from God the truths about you and who you are, that you are beloved, that you are chosen, that you are beautiful. Okay? If you just see yourself as a sinner, saved by grace, all right, you will hear God and you will listen out for what is wrong and what He wants you to change. Okay? So, who you think you are and who you think God is will determine what you listen out for when you're hearing God. Okay? So if you see yourself as a servant, you will hear what He wants you to do, not what you are, who you are in Him. Okay? If you just hear that you're a sinner, you will hear from God what He wants you to change, that you're perhaps seeing God as a punishing father. You know, you've got to change that. No, we are sons and daughters. We are beloved. We are called chosen. He knows us by name. Okay? In my job, frankly, I'm a number on a spreadsheet. But no, God calls me by name. He knows me. He loves me. He knows every hair on my head. Okay? We are more than numbers on spreadsheets. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Okay? So get into focusing on God and not focusing on your needs. We are God's children. God will speak to us in a way about everything where anything is possible. Okay? Now, just want to spend a little time looking at two people, Simeon and Anna, and they can be found in Luke 2, chapter 21 to 40. And I wanted to just draw our attention to these folk from the Bible who modeled for us, who are examples for us on how to do this stuff, how to walk, how to be full of faith, even when you're waiting to see the outcome. Okay? Even when we're not fully there. Now, in this account, Luke 2, verses 21 to 40, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple when he was 8 days old to be circumcised, to present or dedicate him to the Lord. We've had a couple of dedications here in church, okay? They knew that this is what they should do. Think a little bit about Mary and Joseph, particularly Mary, but think about Joseph too. They had travelled, hadn't they? They'd travelled to Bethlehem. Mary had given birth to Jesus in a stable, in the dirt and in the mud, okay? They were probably exhausted, and then they had travelled on, okay? And they were probably not looking their best. They, you know, Mary, I can imagine, baby, 8 days old. She was probably, you know, she'd have had enough, I'm pretty certain. Okay, she was not looking her best. But look what happens when they take the baby Jesus to the temple. Okay. She meets Mary and Joseph. They meet Simeon and Anna. All right. Let's pick it up then from verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for Jesus to come. And at that time, there were Jews who believed that the Messiah would come as a warrior, as a fighter, as a king, who would deliver them from Roman occupation. Okay, that was the political landscape. Of course, yes, Jesus did come. The Messiah did come. He did deliver us from oppression. But on a donkey, as a baby, as a servant king. Okay? But Simeon knew. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, I love this, because think about the order of events here, okay? Jesus is a baby still at this point. Hasn't been crucified, hasn't risen from the dead, okay? And gone back to glory, and then God sends the Holy Spirit in the upper room in Acts. No, okay? The Holy Spirit was on Simeon then, right? It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Okay? Now, as we look at this, I want you to think about three questions. What does this show us about Simeon's faith and expectation? Remember, Jesus is still a baby. Okay? What might Mary and Joseph have looked like? Well, I've talked about that. And what does this show us about Anna's relationship with the Lord? Because they meet Simeon first, and then they meet Anna. Okay? So, Simeon, moved by the Spirit. Ooh. Okay? This is a demonstration of how to bring heaven on earth. How you do it when you're waiting and you don't see. Okay? The kingdom culture. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, now I love this, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Now listen to this, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Look at that, Simeon, a devout Jew. What does he say? A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel. Now this is before Peter's dream, when he sees all the unclean animals, okay, and relies on Cornelius on the other side of town to go and show him that Jesus has come for all men of all nations. Simeon knew, okay? The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And then they meet Anna, because I think our faith doesn't have to rest on coincidences, okay? It's God incidents, all right? Simeon was there just at the time Mary and Joseph came to the temple. And who else was there who came out just at the moment? Anna. She had stayed in the temple courts, okay? She never went out. She was 83, all right? But just at that moment, they meet Anna as well. There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. Sorry, I said 83, 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day. Remember we read in that psalm, what to do in the morning, what to do in the evening? Fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment. I want to live like this. I don't want to be a number on a spreadsheet. I want to live like this, okay? She gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So, we've talked about Simeon. Okay, and how he walked with the Lord. His relationship with God meant everything. Okay, he embraced the presence of the Prince of Peace. We've talked about Anna. Okay, she didn't live in the disappointment of her widowhood. Okay, but she came to Mary and Joseph with their baby at that very moment. Okay, there were many things in Anna's life that were disappointing. She lost a husband, she had no children, and she was allowed to occupy one of the temple apartments. Now, her world was very much a male-dominated one. 2,000 years ago, women were expected to be silent, unobtrusive. She didn't look back with regret, but rather she looked forward with hope, and grief didn't define her life. She focused her attention on waiting for God's promise. She dedicated her whole life to immersing herself in the Word of God. Now remember, at that time, women had no formal education. They weren't allowed to handle the scriptures, okay, let alone teach others. But she, it says, had told everybody about Jesus. She was looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She came out, and I'm sure she ministered to Mary. I am sure she encouraged Mary in this account, okay? She spoke to other women who came to the temple, and she spent her life in his presence, sharing his word with others. And I've talked about later, you can read this for yourselves at home, in Acts 10, okay, so 34 years later, Peter gets a revelation from the Lord explaining that Jesus has come for the Gentiles too. Simeon knew, okay? Read that in Acts 10 when you get home, because it's fantastic how God works on one side of the city and at the same time he's working on the other side of the city, okay? That Cornelius is hearing from God, a Gentile, sends his men to go and visit Peter, and they are insistent. And at the same time, God is revealing that the gospel is for all man. To Peter, it's hugely significant, huge, okay? And it takes Cornelius, a Gentile, to go and get Peter and to tell him, all right? It's huge, so do read it. And then what happens is that Peter goes back to Cornelius' house on the other side of the city, and the Holy Spirit comes, because they were all there in the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. Now remember, early in Acts, so a few weeks previously, the Holy Spirit had come when they were in the upper room. And the same thing happens again. The Holy Spirit now comes again for the Gentiles. Okay? Hugely significant. So expect the unexpected with God. All right? Expect the unexpected. Okay, trust God in a turbulent world, because he is in control of everything. And that will give you a momentum for fresh grace to be poured out. Okay, and a momentum of courage and faith can propel us into new places. Remember God's word to us to enlarge our tent, to strengthen our cords. Okay, geography, psychology, in every area, all right? Not just physical geography. So how can we live in expectancy? Believe God's promises. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful. Be full of faith. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Thank you.